We've been talking. We spent some time in relationship boot camp, and we've had a good time. Actually, the guys, if we had time, I'll let maybe somebody share of the impact of this weekend. But the guys had a sleepover after, not a, overnight. We call that it an overnighter, good. You know, because I think y'all call y'all's a sleepover.
So a lock-in is good. Huh? A lock-in is good.
All right. So, okay, Siobhan, this is lock-in. You know. Uncle. No, I said, but we stayed overnight, and I think we talked to like 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know. Well, some of us. And then, you know, I'll go pick with some people. Some people was on the ropes. Some people needed coffee. Anybody around here know who that is? It's Maxwell House over there. Minister Maxwell House. but we did. We had a transparent time, and we really challenged each other. Maybe we'll talk about some of that. But we've been talking about, we've talked about boundaries. We talked about agreement. We talked about commitment. We talked about confrontation, addressing behavior. We hit a lot of things. The guys, we talked about attention to detail, excellence. We actually talked about not wearing out, you know, the people in our lives, you know, by being unattentive or treating them like indentured servants. You know, maybe not intentional, but if you ain't paying attention to somebody and the only time you think about them is when you need something, kind of comes across like slavery, you know. So we talked about that. But today we're going to talk about communication, right? And communication is probably one of the most challenging things in relationships because everybody has either a worldview that could block it. You know, your worldview is shaped by repetitious information, authoritative voices in your environment. So a lot of times if your worldview or how you process things, even as, so it's not just couples, but, you know, so me and my cousin, we from New Jersey. So you got some people from North Carolina, you got some people from Ohio, and everybody in their culture believed the way they think in their culture is the right way. Who said it? It was somebody over here. It was you. Didn't you say them people from up north?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that you? Yeah, it's them people from up north. See, so as soon as you say that, it's like some type of, it, you know, what you trying to say, you know? But then you got people from up north might go, oh, man, them people down south. Or, you know, sometimes I pick and I call people country. I'm just picking, all right? But I like to pick. So you got all these different, so that's a worldview, but within the country or within the South or within the North, there's still houses within those. And there's something you learn in the house. So we did an icebreaker on Friday night, and the icebreaker was what's something you do as a child that you wish you could do again? So Ed and used to, so first of all, he mentioned some tree I never heard of before because I'm from up north. Right, and then he said that there used to be bumblebees with this tree. So what they used to do is see how many bumblebees you can kill without getting stung. And the way they would kill them is you sneak up behind them and try to slap, you know, clap your hands or squish the bumblebee in your hand. Like, so how many of y'all played the kill a bumblebee game? Like, I thought it was just gonna be Ed. It was three people. You played that game? Kill a bumblebee game.
What about the lightning bug? The lightning bug. You made jewelry. You made jewelry.
I mean, that's cool. We had lightning bugs up north. I played with lightning bugs.
Like ring. You made ring.
Can you get stung by a lightning bug? There's no danger there. You know you get stung by a bee, get swollen up. People die getting stung.
Yeah.
They playing with bumblebees. In the city, Brick City, we running from bumblebees. Ain't nobody like playing with no bumblebees. Like, whoa, bee. Right? So, but when Ed made that statement, what I was thinking is what? See, that's what they be doing down here. But Clifton, who grew up with Ed, he was sitting over there. He said, no, that's what they, what he said, you was on the west side? He said, that's what they did on the west side. Same place, but they flow different. He was like, nah, we ain't do that on our side of town. So we got worldviews. You got gender differences. So there's some things that are genderly different. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm talking about stuff that you can't change if you try. It's just a part of your gender. some things a female can't. So we always say it this way. So my wife is lighter skinned than me, right? That's not the way I crack the jokes, but I'm gonna just say lighter skinned than me. You know, y'all know what the jokes is. You kind of light back there too, cuz, right? So let's say if my argument was, you too bright. So we're gonna be arguing all day, right? Because she can't change the color of her skin. Similar to her gender. So as a guy, I'm gonna be going, no, you need to think like this. Some of it is engineered gender difference. It's like an image that's put in you that you couldn't do nothing about. So the only thing I can do is try to understand as opposed to try to fix, vice versa. I have a certain way I flow. So I'm a little darker than you. Thank God. Right? So, but I can't change. She can't make me lighter. Now I'm talking about things we can't change as far as color of our skin, but you can't change the engineered differences. So that affects communication, right? Right, and then we have ways we talk language. Sometimes we, you think a lot of stuff in your head, but you're a crystallized communicator. So that means you summarize everything you're thinking in your head, but you think you said it in specific detail. Right? So that's gonna cause misunderstanding because you figured a person heard what you was thinking, not what you said. Right.
That happens
right?
A lot.
Right? That's gonna affect communication. Like, you ever see people read and they skip over stuff? Not because they're incompetent or they can't comprehend it. They're speed thinkers and readers. So they rush to express as opposed to taking their time. And this one's for Mr. Sammy because he'd be picking with me. Instead of being detailed, right? So he says I'm detailed, you know, which I am. So I have every right to take that hit, right? So we're ministerial colleagues, we're friends. I'm his pastor. You got all these different relations, but we got to flow together. He's from Arkansas. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. Right? That's right. Right. So I spent a lot of time, and I've told him this, studying how he flows, as opposed to just trying to make him flow like me. Now, his job is to spend time studying how I flow so we can understand and flow. So, because this half of the stuff I do, you could really take personal. But I'm not even on your page because I'm from another culture, right? Or I'm used to boom, 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 getting it done. I don't know, is this fair? It was true. Sometimes I don't really care what people think. So I'm not working always to consider what people think. I'm not trying to prove myself, you know, whereas some people in their culture, they care what everybody think, and they're always trying to prove themselves. So if I do something, they'd be like, oh, you might not want to do that. They gonna think this. They may think something else. Only thing I could be is Keith, right? But how's that going to be translated sometime? Does he care? Is he mad? Is he offended? Oh, what done happened today with him? Nothing. Just all business right now, right? Right? And me and Sammy talk about it. Well, me and my wife always talk about it. I'm locked in when I'm locked in. But when I'm cracking jokes, I'm cracking jokes. Those are my two moods. Right? Business or cracking jokes. But I'm rarely sad or rarely mad. And she is super joy most of the time. Like, you know, she's super joy. She's either super to joy or she has more emotions. So she may be sad. She may be upset about stuff. So, but we flow different. I may run around this building and yell and scream to the top of my lungs just to make sure I don't carry any stress. In her case, what you yelling and screaming? People gonna think you crazy. I'm like, huh? No, I'm just screaming, you know. All right. So keep that in mind as we start talking about communication.
All right. That's good. You know, communication is something that we all have to deal with, and it's very, very challenging at every level. Whether you're old, you're young, it's just one of those things that we are always oftentimes challenged. And so we have to have tools if you don't have any tools, you will be misunderstood. Arguments happen, and as a result of arguments happen, divorce happens, you know, fallouts in friendships happen. Working at the job doesn't really manifest really good. So communication is something that we actually have to learn how to. You know, a lot of people don't really spend a lot of time teaching you how to communicate. You know, we think that, like for me, I think if I think a certain way, everybody thinks the same way. You know what I mean? And if you don't think like me, something is wrong with you. You know, how many people do that? It's like anybody can see that this is what we're, you know, the real thing. You know, and so, but I had to learn over the years, and I was frustrating myself because I was looking for me, but I couldn't find me. And I couldn't hear me. And so as a result of not hearing and finding me, I got offended. And so communication is vital to our everyday life with your children. You got to be able to effectively communicate with your children. Look, he's over there. Look, Mom, listen. Listen, Mom. But then there's a way that the child communicates with the parents. Uh-oh. Look. Look. And so, but at every level, we have to understand that communication is an important factor of our lives. And if we don't embrace that reality, you will find yourself unhappy. Unhappy. And so communication, even though you're striving for great communication, do the best you can with the effective communication that you have in the moment. I change that because I don't want to say, you know, some people say, well, this is just the way I am. Well, we don't want you to stay there, but there are some things that you know to do. Do that. Keep doing that until God raises you to a whole nother level. Now, men, affections calm emotion. So for men, affections calm emotions. Logic actually fuels to the fire. So this is when men are dealing with women. Okay? This is when men are dealing with women. Affection calms emotions. So can I get an amen, y'all, for the women out there? So this is for y'all men out there. Now, let me say that again. For y'all men out there, affection calms emotion. Logic adds fuel. Because she's saying, look, I don't want your fuel to the fire. She's like, look, I just need you. I need you to understand me. I need you to feel me. I need you to hear me. And so, you know, that so for you men, that's what she's looking for. She's looking for affection to actually calm her. Sometimes, you know what? Just hold me. If you could just hold me, or you know, but people, you know, you want to be held sometimes without having to do something else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, so this is for the women, okay? So we already talked about the men. For women, understanding actually calms frustration. Emotions adds fuel to the fire. So the, look, he said amen. And so say it again. Okay, so women, this is what we have to do. Understanding calms frustration. And frustration usually comes out sometimes in anger and hurt. But anyway, understanding calms frustration, and emotions add fuel to the fire. So the more emotional you are, guess what? First off, he probably shut down at that point. What happens when you bring it down? What?
You sure you want?
Yeah, bring it down.
Well, the point was like when you're trying to communicate something logically and it's not understood, or you're not taking the time to seek to understand, well, you're going to frustrate a logical person. Because the logical person, like she was saying, you know, how come you can't see this? So the logical person says this. So the hope is, just like for the guys, you're hoping the guys go beyond their logic and dig deep into affection to pick up the at least be sensitive. This might not make logical sense, but this is affecting her a certain way, so I want to be more affectionate. Well, the guys need the same thing. Like, okay, I need to go deeper to understand. If I want to stop the person from being frustrated, I want to go deeper to understand, not just stick in my emotions cloud you, not just stay in my cloud. And if I just get emotional when a person is trying to communicate an understanding, you just adding fuel to the fire, because emotions is clouding you more and more, and the person needs you to understand, but you get more and more clouded. So for that translate, the person's getting more and more frustrated because they're like, okay, like, all right, how could I break this down? Or she used my line the other day, so I think since you used it the other day, you give me permission to communicate it.
Okay.
So she was like, well, babe, she was picking with me. She was like, what I got to do, put it in Braille? But that's my line. You know, like, so sometimes that's what I'm thinking. Like what I got to do, put it in Braille? Like, it, you know, and so I'm getting more, I know that's not right. I didn't say it was right. I just said sometimes that's what goes through my head. You know, if you trigger frustrations, I'm like, what we got to do, you know, have a plane fly? I got that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, save you the trouble. Yeah. All right, so, you know, I'm like, what I got to do, have a plane fly by, you know, with a sign, you know, that explain it, or maybe during your Lifetime show, they do flashcards, you know, like, just, you know, anything for you to understand, you know. So, and it's tough because, like, we're comfortable in logic because it makes sense to us. But they're comfortable in their... And again, this is ideal because sometimes it's flipped. Sometimes you have emotional guys and you have logical females. We're just talking about the ideal situation, okay? Because it's not like females don't have logic and guys don't have emotions. I know some people are thinking, guys have emotions? Yeah, I wish I could find them sometimes. But you do, you have them. But the thing is, it's so easy. Like for me, it's like, this is easy. All you got to do is this, that, and the other. And then you think you articulate it in a way where a person can get it because it makes sense to you, you know. But you got to be patient enough to be sensitive enough to understand that. See, what I do is I distract her when I'm frustrated. Because now she feels like, oh, God, I'm boo-boo the fool because this dude got this look on his face like, see, this look to me is like, how come you don't get it?
It's funny to men. Right. They knew that look.
Right. But to me, it's like, how come you didn't get it? But to her, which I'm learning, it translates, you stupid. I'm not thinking you stupid. I'm just going, how else can I explain this? But if you, the other person is going, what you trying to say? I'm stupid? So now I just created a diversion because now they're going to try to prove they're not stupid. And we done lost the whole point. Okay, amen, hallelujah. All right, so.
Here's another thought. So let's say I come home from the workplace and I say, man, I had a really tough day. The person that my coworker just keeps on just picking at everything that I do. And I mean, from the time I walked in to the time so what's the first thing that man will do? The first thing he's going to do is he's going to try to fix it. She doesn't want it fixed. She just wants you to hear. She just wants you to hear. Matter of fact, there were times in our marriage I said, I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. Do you remember that?
I remember it. Guess what? Now that I remember it, so this is what happened. So at the beginning, I was defending that.
Yeah.
So at first, I would be defending it she's like, well, you don't want me to fix it. I'm like, huh?
So
like,
why would you say it?
So I was like, why are you even bring it out if you wanted to fix it? So one day, I listened to the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, sweetheart, like, do you realize when you communicate the complaint or the issue, it's in the same package as when you need my help? So if normally you're asking for my help, but today you just want me to hear you, and it comes into the same package, why would I think I need to respond different? So I said, babe, help me to help you. I said, it would be easy if you said, hey, I'm just venting. I just want to talk. I don't need nothing. Since you know this one is different, you're the only one that knows. And she says, I get it. I'm expecting you to read my mind. And I said, touchdown. And somebody, I said that the other day, and they said, you didn't say that, did you? I was like, yeah, no, that's exactly, yeah. You remember? That's exactly what I said. And so, you know, that's how we got the revelation, help each other to help each other. Mm-hmm. You know, because, and I know she's not intending it, the package is the same, but once again, eternally, you know what's going on. And you think you're displaying exactly what you need at the time, because you need it. But it's just a little extra piece that helps the person to help you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Effective communication is the ability to clearly transmit and absorb thoughts, views, and convictions of another. Let me say that again. It's the ability, what'd you say? It's the ability to clearly transmit and absorb thoughts, not your own thoughts, but the thoughts of the person is communicating. Views, not your own view, but the person's view, and convictions of another, not your own. We get in a lot of trouble here because a lot of times we are looking at how we're clearly transmitting, how we're what our thoughts are, what our views are, what our convictions are. And so you can't just stay there. If you stay there, you will have misunderstanding. It must be genuine, real, producing results, expressing your commitment, transparency, and vulnerability. Speak to that if you could.
Yeah, so to have effective communication, it has to be genuine. And sometimes it's not genuine. When you're hiding. So the person can't clearly understand you because you're not just communicating the truth, you're trying to protect yourself in the process. So that's communicating in a cover-up. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like, I'm trying to communicate for you to understand, but it's all about me. And so that doesn't come across as genuine, and that's not going to produce results. So genuine communication is, so we always give this example of transparent and vulnerability. So transparency is, you tell somebody the truth. Some of us are great at that. Well, I just told him the truth. Yeah, but did you bring the cousin with him? Vulnerability. So, well, I don't want to use it on you. So I'm going to use this example. So, you know, I have a good friend growing up, he's a boxer. And what they would teach you is, you throw a jab, but you cover at the same time. Because you throw a jab, the counter for that is a hook to the head, right? Transparency is throwing a jab, but no cover. But no cover. So that means I'm open. See, now it's going to come across real. So I'm not just sharing the truth, I'm open to hear the truth. But if I share it transparently, but I'm not vulnerable, that's not going to come across as genuine. See, I just want you to get something. I'm not willing to receive anything.
That's good. You know, and transparency and vulnerability is so needed because, to be honest with you, we have these secret thoughts about whoever we're communicating with, and they never really get to hear what it is that you're expressing or you're feeling or whatever. And so basically, you're in a situation where you're just living a lie, you know, and so we have to give each other permission to be transparent and vulnerable. You have to be, because the receiver, the person, let's say I'm, you know, always transparent and vulnerable, and he's not, you know, that could lend to really a frustrating communication situation.
Yeah, because I'm always in protecting myself mode, I don't trust you mode. Mm-hmm. She's putting herself on the line all the time. So that's not a healthy communication at all, and it doesn't come across as genuine because what I'm hiding is I don't trust you, I don't trust nobody, and I'm not gonna share this vulnerable part because I think you're gonna abuse me if I do share. Mm-hmm. So I just keep it, or I don't think you can handle it.
Right.
So that's filtering my communication, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not coming across genuine, so I'm really in attack mode. So I'm almost like, I'm like, here, I'm behind the shield. She's out there waiting. Pew, pew. You know what I'm saying? So okay. It played out that way on some occasions.
So you want to play?
Be like, Uncle. All right, so let's see. Let's go here. So,
all righty. Where are we at here? All right.
So the effective communication begins.
Okay, it begins with patient communication. That's another thing that we need is patient communication. Let's go to Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." So he's saying, come, let us reason together. You know, state your case, basically. And go, could you turn to Romans? Write down Romans 2:7 or go there. Romans 2:7. Patient communication. That is, ooh, that's a big one right there. All right, Romans 2:7. It says, "To them who by patience continuance in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Patient communication, let me just share this thought. Patient communication is something that I think we all are impatient. You know, it's like when you find yourself, especially in a heated situation, if it's a situation that you're getting some resistance back from the other person, it's very, very difficult, but it takes maturity to actually walk in patient communication. It's really tapping into the fruits of the Spirit. Patience is one of the virtues that we all have to really embrace, and that's something that, for whatever reason, we want it now. We want you to understand us now. We don't want to talk about, you know, what you thinking. It's like, matter of fact, when the person's talking to you, you already putting in your mind, you're not even listening to the person. You just figuring out, okay, what my response is going to be. What's my angle? That's another thing. We find an angle, because sometimes you be having the conversations in yourself. He's like, well, I know he gonna say this, so let me come back with this. That happens a lot. So patient communication is something, y'all, we have got to actually embrace. But it takes a level of maturity, and it takes a level of tapping into the fruit of the spirit of patience. Because it's something about us that feels like if I don't get my point across right now, then I'm not going to get it across. As opposed to here's the other thing, letting the person finish their thought. How many of y'all just you chime in before the person even get everything that they want to say? Plenty of times, you know, but we have, it's called, you know, courtesy. It's called respect. It's called patient communication. And so it takes time to talk through some stuff. And I think what it is we think that maybe sometimes we think the person's going to bottom out. You know, like, will I even get my thought across? Because they might bottom out. So patient communication is so important.
Yeah, the scripture in Isaiah says, let us reason together. Of course, it's talking, God is saying that. Reason together is stating your case. So it's two people having an opportunity to state their case. Romans 2:7 talks about patient, continuous, and well-doing. So it's like I have to be patient enough to go that extra mile to try to understand that person. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing is I want to be understood, but I have to sow trying to understand. But how does that work if you just want to be understood, but you're not willing to understand? And the thing is, so I can't, yes, I do want to be understood, but all my effort is in what? Trying to understand. It's someone else's responsibility to understand me. It's not my... See, so let's say if it's her responsibility to understand me and I'm trying to make her understand me, something ain't balanced there. It's all about me. All right. Okay, now the Bible says you need to understand me and I'm going to show you how to do it. Somebody over here said control. So But all my job is supposed to be what?
Understanding.
Understanding.
Very important, because the thing about it is when you spend time understanding one another, now you can actually call for wisdom for the situation to come on the scene. Patient communication allows a voice and respects a choice. So patient communication allows a voice and respects choice. Everybody should have a voice. Everybody should have choice. Inviting, empowering language, voices, and choices should lead to final wisdom. So when a person is able to convey what it is that's on their heart, the other person is willing to, you know, have the opportunity to convey what's on their heart. Well, now you got two different things that you can weigh. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom listens to both sides and offers a solution. And so it's important that we make room or make way for wisdom in a situation, but it only comes by both person being able to, like my whole time when we communicate should be more about what is it that you're really trying to say, as opposed to let me say what I want to say, if that makes sense. Once he does the same thing, well, now we've got two things on the table, okay? And then we can make a demand for wisdom to actually come. The scripture says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask and he'll give him liberally that whatever they need in that situation.
What she said is powerful, because it's in every relationship. Mm-hmm. So when we first got married, I'm the man, you know. So my understanding, especially in the culture's worldview, cultures I was up in, the man is the head, he's the lead, mm-hmm. he makes all the decisions. So when she would open her mouth in a lot of situations, I might not said anything, but my look was almost like, so you got a thought? We could be in the negotiations and she would start talking. I'd be like, why are you even, you're making me look bad here. I'm the head. And then what happened is, 1 year, I write a vision every year for our house. And 1 year I had I'm gonna say the tagline, but no details. And it's just like, man, it's the end of the year, man. I don't have none of this specific details. So she has this powerful dream. She's like, babe, I don't know what this is. And so I said, well, just give it to me. So I went to God. I said, God, so what's this dream? Give me the interpretation. That's how we roll a lot of times. She'll have dreams, and the Lord give me the interpretation. He said, oh, that's your vision. That's the rest of your vision. That's the details. I was like, that can't be right. I'm the visionary. How would you give her the details? He says, well, you guys was under attack a lot this year. You as the house band covering, when the attack came, it hit you first and you're protecting the house. So I'm protecting the house. While you were protecting the house, I had to get information to you guys. So I got it to your radio man. He said, you need to take the time to listen to your wife. And so what I realized is, and then he showed me, it's a movie, The Sum of All Fears. And in the movie, one guy plays the president, and they're thinking somebody, this country, it could be Russia, somebody took over the country, and they're going to hit the button for a nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, whatever. And so the president walks in. Okay, so he has his cabinet. You know, you got Secretary of Defense, you got whatever is on the cabinet. Some of y'all know all the people. Well, he has his cabinet. He walks in. The first thing he says, what am I going to do? You're the president, but you're asking him, what are you going to do? This person goes, we need to blow him out of the water. Blow him out of the water, president. And then another person goes, well, no. I've actually did some research. And it's a coup, but this person is not the type of person that will press the button. Then another person says, no, I did some research. This is the artillery they really have, and this is where it's located. They may not even be able to reach us. After everybody gives all the information, who makes the final decision whether you're going to push the button? The president, but with all the considerations.
That's right.
So that's what she just said. Mm-hmm. The Lord told me, how are you making decisions without all the considerations? What kind of vision is that? So you better listen to the rest of the considerations, because once two of you are in agreement, there I am in the midst with the wisdom.
You know, when you said that, it made me think about it's a sad thing when a man is a know-it-all. Let me explain. If you the reason why I say it's a sad thing for a know-it-all man, you know what a know-it-all man is, right? They think they know it all. You can't get an edgewise in, you know, it's a know-it-all spirit. It's sad because God created man and woman, and he created the woman to be a helpmeet suitable for the man. So the very thing that God gave the man, he's basically not utilizing the help that he got. Why? Because he's a know-it-all. And when you think you know it all, you don't know nothing. A lot of times you don't really know a lot of things. So it's sad that to have a know-it-all mentality.
Well, and the same thing for any level of leader or parent. Mm. You have to be open to all the considerations. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that good help will offer considerations and then trust the final decision. But they still will, you know, offer the considerations, right? And then after that, it's like, okay, that's between you and God, you know. And that's kind of how we roll. She'll offer all the considerations. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to trust you on the decision. You know, you leading. Okay, now, what you going to do on this one? It's voices and choices. Each person has a voice and each person has a choice. And we talk it through, patient enough to talk it through. Mm-hmm. Talking it through helps you to consider all the considerations. And, I think you're going to get to James 3.
Take that.
All right, so, you know, the Bible tells us that everyone, even when we come to church, how is it that everyone has a word? So everyone has a word or could have a prophecy, could have an insight, but we're not following every word or insight. We're offering every word, every insight, every prophecy. Some people have, well, you know, we always did it this way. We should do it that way. Now, I feel strongly we should do it that way. It's not about how strongly you feel. It's about if you got something, you offer it, and you're trusting the vision, because the visionary has the whole vision. When she had that dream, she never said, babe, I got this dream, and it's the rest of the vision. Keeping it real, she ain't know where it fit. She just offered the dream. God said that's the rest of the vision. But because she trusted the visionary, I was like, no, that's the whole 80% of that stuff came to pass. But God downloaded it to her to offer it to me. You see what I'm saying? So that's how you have to flow. Everybody has a word. The scripture says, how is it that I set before you life and death, blessings and curses, but choose life? Everybody has a choice. But ultimately, wisdom centers the conversation. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Look, easy to be entreated. So I know it's wisdom and it came from God because I can absorb it. She knows wisdom and it's from God. She can absorb it. So we talked about this at Guy Talk. Right now, if I call any one of y'all on the cell phone, even though, so let's say, Brooklyn, you got a cell phone, I have a cell phone. So either we decide to text each other or talk to each other, but we're both in the sanctuary. Even though it looks like I'm talking into this and it's coming directly to you, it's not. It's going from my cell phone
to
a satellite and then coming to you. Even if we're in the same room, right? So what we have to do is take what we think, what we feel, and let it be filtered through God.
Right.
Because once it goes to God, now it comes down packaged in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now the person can absorb it. But if it comes direct, they hear you. And with that, I'm going to just be transparent. When my wife hears me, that triggers either a defense or it could trigger an attack or a competition.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. That's what you're putting on the table. Uh-huh. That's what I got. So now we playing tennis.
Yep.
Bam!
Bam!
Bam! You know, like we playing tennis now. Why? Because it came from me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I send it through God, she just absorbs it.
That's good.
Now we playing catch.
Mm-hmm.
We playing catch now. That flows a whole lot. You play catch, I catch it, not I got a glove, you throw it to me, and I bat it down or bat it back to you. I'm catching it. I'm taking it in, and then I throw it to you so you can catch it. And I throw it in a way you can catch it.
All right, so that speaks to the, you want to, where are you at here?
Oh, we're at deep.
Proper time. Okay, so another thing is proper timing. Somebody said, proper timing. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit for that. Because sometimes, you know, we think that any time is proper. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's proper for me, so let's do it. But no, it's got to be a proper timing. And a lot of times, you know, when you hit stuff that's sensitive, that's probably not the best time to, especially when you know a person has a short fuse about the situation. Run. Yeah, that's not the time to really talk about stuff. Sometimes it's finding a time when nothing's on the line. You know what I mean? Because that the person's not, what'd you say? That's right. Finding a time when nothing's on the line. That is so true.
It's good, babe. Mm-hmm. True. Well, we can add that to spoken word.
Yes, and so there's a proper timing for everything. The Ecclesiastes 3, 1-3, it talks about it's a time for every season. There's a time for every purpose. Mm-hmm. And so
for everything, there's a season.
There's a season. That's right. So, so even you know, but see, that's the key. The key thing is being in tune with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows all things. And so when you lean to your own understanding, that's when we get in trouble. But when we ask and inquire of the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, is this the right time? If you don't get a nudge in your spirit of that this is the right time, you need to shut up. Well, we need to shut up. You know what I'm saying? Because now we'll be doing it in our own flesh. Mm-hmm. And then we're expecting results that really...